السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. We start with the name, the praises of our Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Sustainer, the one who guides us to the truth. And we send peace and blessings on all of his messengers, and particularly the final messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on his noble family and his companions. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this session one that is beneficial for us, one that affects our hearts, one that provides us certainty in the truth of the Quran. So the topic that you chose was titled Miracles of the Quran. So before we start, let's talk in general terms. When we say miracle, what thoughts come to your mind? What's a miracle? Yes. Something that's supernatural or supranatural or extra natural. For that, we need to know what is natural. What is natural? Yes.
Think of it as something that is possible, like it can happen.
Something that's possible. Even the miracles are possible.
Yeah.
Yes.
Something that
we didn't create. What does natural, what we see naturally happening? That's because I'm short on time. I've been given a time limit. What we have experienced in our life as a phenomena that's occurring routinely. For example, we see the sun rising, we see the sun setting, right? We see heavy clouds come, we expect rain. When the winter season comes, we expect the leaves to fall, right? So all the phenomena that we are watching around us, which we normally experience, we call them natural. But what does it mean? Is it on their own that they have this? The answer is no. Everything is governed by a law. We call them laws of nature, but a more accurate statement would be Allah's laws in nature. See, there's a difference, because natural law implies that everything has its own ability to do things, whereas Allah's laws in nature means Allah made the laws that all of these objects and things follow because they are subservient to their creator. So when we talk about miracles, we're talking about things that are beyond our normal experience, what we expect. And it is beyond the capacity of created beings collectively to perform. It's something that we don't expect. We think it might be impossible, yet it becomes possible. So in a way, it incapacitates us that we are helpless in front of it. We do not have the capacity neither to perform, even to imagine that something like this could happen. So that's what we call miracle in general terms. In Arabic, the word used is mu'ajaza, which comes from i'jaz, and i'jaz means something that incapacitates you, that makes you helpless in front of it. Okay, but the word mu'ajaza is not used in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses words like ayat, signs, karamat, special things. Okay. So the question comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made natural laws. Why does he need to bring forth miracles? What do you think? Are miracles necessary? If you look at it, we see miracles everywhere. Each one of you is a miracle. Nobody can create you. Every cell in your body is a miracle. The night outside is a miracle. The day is a miracle. Everything you see around is a miracle, in a way, right? But we have gotten used to it.
A miracle, like something outside of what we perceive could validate the existence of God.
Absolutely. But who needs it? The people who reject that there is a creator. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent guides for mankind through human history, like Noah, Nuh alayhi salam, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and finally the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that he sent messengers to every nation to guide them to the truth. Now, what was the normal sequence of events? People were living their lives in whatever way they wanted, doing whatever they wanted, no laws, no regulations. So a guide would come to them and call them to the truth, to follow some laws, to have some a good character, to be just, to be merciful, and all of that. And they said that worship one God, the unseen God. And the people would reject those messages. And they said, you are a liar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would sometimes support the truth of his message and the messengers by showing people that no, there is something special about this person. And sometimes the people themselves who were rebellious would challenge the messengers. How do we know? Show us this miracle. Show us this. Here's a mountain, make a pregnant female camel come out of the mountain. You know, ridiculing them. Okay. Bring the dead to life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported the truth of his messengers to prove that they were truth. And each of the miracles, when we look in the Quran that are mentioned, there are mentions of the miracles of Moses and Jesus and many other messengers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to send miracles that were specific for the time, and it dealt with the expertise of the people, what they took the most pride in. For example, at the time of Pharaoh, Fir'aun, and Moses, alayhi salam, Musa, alayhi salam, they were big into magic. They could do all kinds of things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Musa, alayhi salam, with miracles that outdid their magic, to show you that you think you are an expert, you're a hot shot, look what my messenger can do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them, as we say, ayat. Ayat means signs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, referring to Musa alayhi salam, he was given multiple miracles to prove to the people that he was a messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَدْخِلْ يَدَكَ فِي جَيْبِكَ تَخْرُجْ بَيْضَاءَ مِنْ غَيْرِ سُوءٍ فِي تِسْءِ آيَاتٍ إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ وَقَوْمِهِ إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَوْمًا فَاسِقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Moses alayhi salam, put your hand into the pocket of your cloak and it will come out white and glowing without being harmed. He said, and this is one of the 9 signs that I have given you. And those who have seen 10 commandments see all of that, that he was given a staff that he threw down, it would become a snake. And there was this competition he had with the magicians, and we know the story of that, that he parted the sea by hitting the Red Sea with the staff, it parted, and many other miracles. So 9 of those are mentioned. Now, is it the ability of the staff, the stick, to do that? Or is it the ability of Moses alayhi salam to do that? The answer is no. All miracles, all are purely by Allah at the hands of his messenger. And to make this point clear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some of the miracles of Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, peace be upon all of them. When he talks about Isa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَسُولًا إِلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ أَنِّي قَدْ جِئْتُكُمْ بِآيَةٍ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ أَنِّي أَخْلُقُ لَكُمْ مِّنْ طَيْرِ كَهَيَّةٍ طَيْرٍ فَأَنْفُخُ فِيهِ فَيَكُونُ طَيْرًا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَأُبْرِئُ الْأَكْمَهَ وَالْأَبْرَصَ وَأُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. That Isa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and we made him a messenger to the children of Israel, saying, I have come to you with a sign from your Lord, that I design for you out of clay a bird, and I breathe into it and it becomes a bird, and that I heal those who are born blind, and I heal the leper, and I bring the dead to life by the leave, by the command of Allah. Every time he says those special things, it's by the command of Allah. Means it's not his power, yet it is at his hands. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthened his messengers by means of miracles. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلْ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَنْ كَلَّمَ اللَّهُ وَرَفَعَ بَعْدَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٍ وَآتَيْنَا عِيسَى ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَيَّدْنَاهُ بِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and of these messengers that we sent for the guidance of mankind, we raised and we favored some above the others, and among them was one whom Allah himself talked to, which is Musa alayhi salam. And there were others whom we raised in rank. Likewise, we gave clear signs to Jesus, the son of Mary, and supported him with the Holy Spirit. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that this is how he strengthened. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, had Allah so willed, the people who had seen clear signs would not have fought against one another after the prophets. But it was not Allah's will to prevent people forcibly from differences. In other words, you've been given the choice to accept it or not to accept it. And they disagreed. Then some of them accepted the truth and others rejected it. This has been human history. If Allah had so willed, they would never have fought against one another. But Allah does whatever He pleases. Okay. So this is the basic background of what the miracles and why miracles came into being. Now coming to the Quran specifically. The Quran is the living eternal miracle of the final messenger, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So let us first, wa alaykum as-salam, let us first define and understand what the Quran is. The Quran is the revealed word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of God in the Arabic language, both in words and meaning. Lafdan wa ma'nan, revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 14 centuries ago through the angel Jibreel over a 23-year period for the guidance of mankind till the day of judgment and to legislate the divine law. It is for tashri'ah, huda, guidance, and tashri'ah. And that Quran has reached us by what is called mutawatir, uninterrupted transmission from one generation to the other. And what does that mean? So that in each generation, the sheer numbers of narrators who had the same Quran, who recited the same Quran and transmitted it to the next generation, were initially in the hundreds, then in the thousands, and then in the millions in each generation, which then makes any possibility of it being erroneous or forged zero. Because in every generation, there were hundreds and thousands, today millions of people who recited. And it was both a written transmission and an oral transmission. Because one of the miracles of the Quran is that it is memorized. And there are millions of people who memorized the Quran. Okay. So, it has 114 surahs, as you know, and chapters, if you want to call them, with beginning with Surah Fatiha, ends with Surah An-Nas. And it is safeguarded and protected by Allah Himself through perceptible and imperceptible means. What are the perceptible means? It's available in print everywhere. The Quran is the same. And another perceptible means is by memorization. That we have huffaz, which are called guardians of the Quran, who can recite the Quran from memory from the beginning to the end. And we have millions of them. There are many in this area, in Western Mass, who have memorized the entire Quran. Every Muslim memorized some portions of the Quran, but they are those who have memorized it all. This is one of the ways in which the Quran is preserved. And there are imperceptible means that we don't know. How do we know that the Quran has been preserved and it has not been changed? Because in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun." that indeed it is us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the plural of majesty, who have revealed this Quran, this remembrance, and indeed it is we who will protect it. People have tried all kinds of ways of trying to corrupt the Quran, the enemies of Islam, of the truth, but they have not succeeded, and they will not succeed because this is a guarantee from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, in summary, with all of these, how do we know this is the divine word? Because of the ajaz, because of the miraculous nature of it. Now, I want all of you to understand one thing. The Quran did not come down to be just a miracle. The Quran is a book of guidance, okay, and a legislator with laws. It has narrations of the past, stories of what happened centuries and centuries before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it has predictions of future events, which have some of which have happened since it came, and some of which will happen in the future. It is not a book of science. So don't try and always find things in the Quran, say this must mean this in science, okay? But there has never been, and there will never be, any true, universally proven scientific truth which will contradict the Quran ever. Why is that? Because the science discovers natural laws. Okay. What the moon is doing, what the sun is doing, what this is doing, natural laws. So how can the word of the one who made all those natural laws contradict the laws he made? So if you find some scientific theory or hypothesis that contradicts, be sure at some point it will be proven wrong. Everything that's true science that has been proven has some indication, either in general terms or in specifics in the Quran. And since it's not a book of science, it's not going to give you details of every single process. Okay? It's only got some 6,000 to 7,000 verses, 600 pages. So you can't expect the details of every single thing to be here. So, first off, the Quran is a linguistic miracle because, as we said, the people of Moses were magicians. So Moses came with magical science. The people at the time of Isa alayhi salam, Jesus alayhi salam, were big into medicine. So he was sent with curing diseases, blindness and leprosy, and to the extent of raising the dead. At the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he was sent in Mecca, the Quraysh, the people of Mecca, took pride in their eloquence, in their language, in their linguistics, okay? That there's nobody superior to us in our language. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Quran as a linguistic miracle because of its sheer eloquence, its beauty in the letter and the meaning on any subject. And they recognized it, even though many of them denied it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then challenges them in the Quran, and that challenge is open till the day of judgment. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? First, initially, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them, he tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, قُلْ لَيْنِ اشْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنسُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَأْتُونَ بِمِثْلِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْدُهُمْ لِبَعْدٍ ظَهِيرًا. Which means, tell them, O Prophet, if all of mankind and all of jinnkind, this unseen creatures of Allah, come together to produce the equivalent, the like of the Quran, they will not be able to produce it, no matter how much they support each other. This is a blanket statement. They will not be able to do it. Okay, that's just a statement. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts forth a challenge, because the people who were rejecting it would say that, oh, the Prophet Muhammad, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who, as we know, was unlettered, he wasn't educated, he didn't go to school, he was an orphan. They said, oh, he has invented it, and he was not known to be a poet or anything. Okay, so they used, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَاهُ قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِعَشْرِ suwarin mithlihi muftarayatun wad'u man istata'tum min dunillahi in kuntum sadiqin. They say, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he has fabricated it. Then tell them, bring 10 fabricated surahs, chapters like the Quran, and call whosoever you want other than Allah for help if you speak the truth. Allah says, I have 114 chapters, bring me 10. And they tried and they couldn't. They recognized it themselves. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upped the ante by revealing another ayah. He said, أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَىٰ قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِثْلِهِ وَدْعُوا مَنْ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Bring one surah, bring one chapter that is equivalent in beauty, in eloquence, in meaning, to one of the chapters of the Quran. And the briefest one is إِنَّا عَتَيْنَكَ الْكَوْثَرِ. Okay? Brief, few words. So, these kuffar got together, they found the best of, the most eloquent of their poets, and they said, we will make you rich, produce something to compete with this. And he said, I need all these books of this, because there is history in it, and there is this and that. So they gave him everything he needed. After 6 months, he came, they said, what have you produced? He said, nothing. He said, we gave you everything. He said, مَا هَذَا قَوْلَ الْبَشَرِ. He said, this is not the word of any human being. This is the one who came to, was brought in to challenge to produce this. So this linguistic miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been present since then and it persists today. Now let's talk about some of the miracles that are mentioned, that some of the things that are mentioned in the Quran about the temporal dimension of this universe, which is miraculous because nothing about it was known 1400 years ago. These are recent findings. For example, today, when the scientists talk about, and again, this is not completely proven, about the creation of the universe, what do they talk about? What is it? The Big Bang theory. So is there anything in the Quran that supports that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كَانَتَا رَتْقًا فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do the disbelievers not realize and know that the heavens and the earth were once joined together? فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا, and then we split it asunder. Sounds like the Big Bang. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not saying this is the Big Bang, but look at how close that comes. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. And we created from water every living creature. أَفَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Will you not believe? Allah is telling us that formula of water in every living creature, there can be no life without it. So what do all the space programs, when they look for life anywhere else, on the moon, on the Mars, what do they look for? Is there any signs of water? Is there any signs of water? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us everything that's living will have some component of water, whether it's plants, with anything else. So that tells you. Now, what do they also tell us about the universe, scientists today? What's happening to the universe? It's always expanding. Does the Quran say anything about that? Yes, it does. وَالسَّمَاءَ بَنَيْنَاهَا بِأَيْدٍ وَإِنَّا لَمُوسِعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we built the heavens, the universe, with great might and power. And إِنَّا, and indeed we, لَمُوسِعُونَ. It's a present continuous and we are expanding it. Is that a miracle? They knew nothing about this. It's in the Quran. Now, what do the geologists and these people who find dinosaurs and who age the earth and the universe tell us? When did man arrive on the scene? Do They tell us that the universe is, what, 14 billion years old or, you know, something like that, and that man is a latecomer. In fact, sometimes they've drawn the clock, the 24-hour clock, and it looks like man arrived in the last 15 minutes of that creation. He's a latecomer. And we know the oldest fossils of that are human, 10, 15, 20, 50,000 years maximum, that's what they found. And there are some other things that maybe nothing more than that. And then yet we know fossils of other creatures that are millions of years old, of the dinosaurs and other things, and the earth, and how they date with carbon dating. So Allah, they are telling us that, you know, we are little fetus in this universe. We came very late. So does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say anything about this in the Quran? Yes, he does. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a question. هَلَ تَعَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْءٍ مَذْكُورًا. Was there not a period of time in existence when the name of man was not even mentioned? Because he didn't exist. He came much later. Okay. So this is another thing that makes you think. Who's telling you this? So those are some of, I mean, I can't in this short period of time go over everything, but I'll just give you a sampling. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us detailed descriptions of past events which were ghaib, means unseen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had no knowledge of it. He is growing up in the middle of a desert, uneducated. They didn't know any of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran the story of Moses and Pharaoh. They knew that Moses, there was a prophet Moses and Pharaoh. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran one of the wazirs, a minister of Pharaoh by the name of Haman. And his name Haman is not mentioned in any of the previous scriptures, including the Torah or the Jewish scriptures. The name Haman is not mentioned. Guess what happens? The Egyptologists, when they examined some of the hieroglyphics, they found the name exactly Haman, who was a minister at the time. It's written in the walls of it. The name. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi in the Quran the story of Mary, how she became pregnant without being touched, how, where she went to give birth, what happened, all of those details, what happened to Isa alayhi salam, what happened to Ibrahim, all of those previous stories in great details, things that happened thousands of years before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the people of Madian, the people of Lut alayhi salam, which is now the Dead Sea, and so on and so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning this, he said, ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ يُلْقُونَ أَقْلَامَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ يَكْفُلُ مَرْيَمَ وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ يَخْتَصِمُونَ. This, these stories, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, is a part of the news of the unseen, of the past nations, which you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have no knowledge of, which we inspire you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says over there, that you were not there with them when they cast their lots as to who was going to be the guardian of Maryam alayhi salam. And you were not with them when they disputed. All of these things given in detail, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had no knowledge of. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that he was given information of the past. So some of the kuffar of Makkah wanting to prove the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrong, knew that the Jews of the time had the old scriptures. So they said to the Jews in Medina, give us some questions that we can put in front, some challenges in front of this messenger to prove that he's an imposter. So they gave him one set of questions. They said, ask him, how did the children of Israel end up in Egypt? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah Yusuf, the story of Joseph. A whole chapter in every detail, what happened with his brothers, every detail, what happened. And look at that, every detail. And that's how they ended up in Egypt. because he had become the minister over there, and then he brought his family there. Then they said, asked him about the people who slept for a long time, which are in the scriptures, the seven sleepers. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew nothing of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah Kahf, which gives you details of what happened, including how many there were, what their dog was, where the dog sat, what the conversations they had with each other. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited Surah Kahf to them, and they were amazed. How does he know all of this? Because this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's miraculous nature of the Quran. So that's about the past. How about predicting future events? At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were two superpowers like we have today, two or three. There were two superpowers, the Byzantine Romans and the Persians. And they would always be fighting with each other for domination. So the Byzantine, the Roman Empire, were Christians. So they believed they were people of the book. So the Muslims were more aligned and liked them. And the Kuffar of Makkah liked the Persians because they were fire worshippers, you know, that sort of thing. So there was a battle between the Romans and the Persians. And the Roman armies were decimated by the Persians, completely destroyed. And the Kuffar of Makkah were celebrating. And they said, look, just like the Romans have been destroyed, one day we are going to take care of you. Because you are aligned with those people who believe in one God, this is what will happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah Ar-Rum at that time, called the Romans. غُلِبَتِ الرُّومِ فِي أَدْنَى الْأَرْضِ وَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ غَلَبِهِمْ سَيَغْلِبُونَ فِي بِدْعِ سِنِينَ لِلَّهِ الْأَمْرُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَمِنْ بَعْدُ وَيَوْمَئِذٍ يَفْرَحُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the Romans have been defeated in the near lands. Near lands were Syria, Iraq, Jordan, and that's where the battle took place. Decimated. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and yet they, after their defeat, will soon be victorious over the Persians within a period of 3 to 9 years. Bid'a sinin. They even gave a time frame. And people laughed. They said, they've been decimated. How can they defeat the Romans? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is the decision of this matter before and after are with Allah. Allah makes the decisions. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, and on that day, the day when the Romans defeat the Persians, the believers, the Muslims will celebrate. Okay? So guess what happened? Exactly 9 years after that, there was another battle, and this time the Romans defeated the Persians, which was unthinkable. So it was a prediction which came true. And it ended with, and on wa yawma idhin yafrahu al-mu'mineen. The believers will be rejoicing. So believers rejoiced in the fact that the Romans won, but guess what it coincided with? The first battle of Islam, which is the Battle of Badr, which the Muslims won against all odds, that the historians just can't today imagine how it could have happened. It happened at the same time. So there was a double reason for rejoicing of the Muslims. So now there's another subtle one. In the early Meccan period, one of the uncle, the paternal uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the name of Abu Lahab, was an arch enemy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of this message, and was opposing the message. And doing him and his wife were the ones who completely rejected. And it's the paternal uncle of Rasulullah, of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in that early Meccan period the surah which is called Al-Lahab. Tabbat yada abi lahabin wa tab ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab sayasla naran dhat al-lahab wa imra'atuhu hammalat al-hadab fi jidha hablum min masad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that Abu Lahab, this uncle of yours, will be in the hellfire, him and his wife, who will bring the fuel that feeds the hellfire for him, and she'll have this collar around her neck. Condemned to hell. Now, Abu Lahab and his wife lived for almost 12 years after revelation of this surah. And his whole goal was to prove the message wrong and prove the Quran wrong. You know what he had to, all he had to do, one day, fake in front of everybody, just come and say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, I accept the message of Islam. That's all he had to say. Because if he said that, what would it mean? He cannot go into the hellfire. That means the Quran is wrong. Yet for 12 years, him and his wife never did that. Because Allah had sealed it, that it's not going to happen. Okay. So there are other signs which are continuous and ongoing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِ بِرَبِّكَ أَنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. Which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will show them, we will continue to show them our signs, our miracles, our ayat in the universe, what you, science finds, and within your own selves, you know, biology, embryology, all of that, until it becomes manifest and clear to them that this Quran is the truth, because it's all in here. Is it not sufficient that your Lord, He is witness over all things? For example, 1400 years ago, nobody ascended into the skies like we fly today. What happens when we fly into, when we go up, what do the airplanes need to have? Pressurized system. Why? Because the atmospheric pressures are so low that your chest would not be able to breathe in anyway. It gets constricted. You know, people get sucked out of the airplanes, right? If the window breaks. You've seen in some of the movies. So, the Quran mentions that. That there is, once if you ascend, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُدِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا كَأَنَّمَا يَصَّعَدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ كَذَلِكَ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ الرِّجْسَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Whoever Allah wills to guide, He opens their heart to Islam. Now listen. But whoever He wills to leave astray, He makes their chest tight, okay, and constricted. And then He gives a metaphor, as if they have climbed up into the skies. Their chest is as constricted. So He's telling us that if you climb into the skies, this is what's going to happen. This is how Allah dooms those who disbelieve. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He created seven heavens above each other, and that there are barriers that cannot be penetrated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, if you think you can penetrate those, but all that we see in the universe is just the first heaven. And He tells us through the Prophet ﷺ that there are gates that cannot, without the permission, nothing can happen. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran what is in the depths of the oceans. Now, to get to the depths of the ocean, you needed submarines. People who dive can only go to a certain depth. Now with all your scuba gear, you can still go only to a certain depth. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a scene of what is in the oceans, which nobody knew at that time, because we didn't have submarines that went down a half a mile, 1 mile, 2 miles under the ocean. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an example of disbelief as darkness. He says, أَوْ كَذُلُمَاتٍ فِي كَظُلَمَاتٍ فِي بَحْرٍ لُجِّيٍ يَغْشَاهُ مَوْجٌ مِّن فَوْقِهِ مَوْجٌ مِّن فَوْقِهِ صَحَابٌ ظُلُمَاتٌ بَعْدُهَا فَوْقَ بَعْدٍ إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَاهَا وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِّن نُورٍ. What does that mean? Allah saying the state of the disbelievers is like a darkness. And then he describes that scientific fact. In the vast deep sea, overwhelmed with a wave on top with another wave, with dark clouds, darkness one upon another, darkness upon darkness. And he gives an example. He says, and if a man at that depth stretches out his hands, he cannot see it. It's so dark. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us what is in the depth. There is no light that penetrates that. And nobody knew that till we discovered these submarines that could go down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us detailed description of the embryology of man, the stages, you know, from the drop to the zygote, to all of those in the Quran in multiple places. Stages of that, it looks like it from a nutfa, from an alaqa, nutfa to alaqa to mudga, all of those which tell us the stages of development of embryology. And now let me, so you can look at those. I won't go into details. Then there's an interesting thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about this, he gives us an order. He says, Inna khalaqna al-insana min nutfatin amshajin nabtalihi faja'alnahu sami'an basira. He says, indeed, we alone created humans from a drop of mixed seminal fluid of the male and the female in order to test them. And then listen. So we made them able to hear and see. So what's the order? Hear and see. And now science has discovered that in the fetus, what comes first? At 18 weeks, the ears develop and the fetus starts to hear. And the seeing, being able to see light and dark, comes at 22 weeks. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is already telling us what He has produced first. SubhanAllah. Astronomy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the orbits in which things are working. وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ كُلٍّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ. That He is the one who created the night and the day, the sun and the moon, each traveling in a floating orbit. Astronomers didn't know that 1400 years ago. They didn't have telescopes like this, okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that it's an all calculated. He said, الشمس والقمر بحسبان. The sun and the moon have their fixed courses, exactly calculated, measured out stages. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the process of fertilization of animals and men, and He talks about fertilization of plants. He says, and we fertilize them with winds. They didn't even know the concept that there were male aspect and female aspects to the plant and how the pollen is spread by the, it's mentioned in the Quran. Circulation. Circulation was discovered by Harvey about 250 years ago. It's mentioned in the Quran, how the blood circulates. Now there's something neurological. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nasibatin kadibatin khatiyah. Talking about the disbelievers who were rejecting. The one whose forebrain, whose forelock is lying. He's telling us that the process of lying comes from the forebrain. And now we know that these functions, these judgments, and the process of lying itself comes from here, not from back, not from here, from the forebrain. Then let's talk about relativity of time. You know, Einstein got a lot of burn on this one, that there is something, time is relative. Is there anything in that regard in the Quran? There may be. Let's look at this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ ثُمَّ يَعْرُجُ إِلَيْهِ فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He conducts every affair of the heavens to the earth, then it all ascends to Him in a day, whose length is 1,000 years by your reckoning. So you think it's 1,000 days, for Allah, it's one day. 1,000 years, for Allah, it's one day. Time is relative. About 100 years ago, a German scientist by the name of Alzheimer's, neurologist, he discovered a disease which we are having an epidemic. It's called what?
Alzheimer's disease.
What happens? When you get to that, everything that you learned goes away. Everything that you learned. I see them all the time. They come with their daughters. Say, who is this? I don't know. It's a friend of mine. They don't know their own names. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a hint like of that. He says, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ ثُمَّ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْضَ لِلْعُمُرِ لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ بَعْدَ عِلْمٍ شَيْئًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ قَدِيرٌ. Which means, it is Allah who has created you and in time will cause you to die. We know all of that, we experience it. But then he says, some of you will be reduced in old age, because it comes on later, to the most abject state, so that after having knowledge, after having known a lot, they will know nothing at all. And God is true, truly all-knowing and all-powerful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, gives us something about the genetic code, which we just, in the last 20 years, deciphered the entire genetic code, has been mapped. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about everything is maktub within the human being. It's written down. It's codified. He mentions that in the Quran. And there are what we call numerical miracles of the Quran, of numbers. About 19, the number 19, there are so, it's mentioned in the Quran in one place, and there are people have looked into it. How many times this is mentioned, how many times that, and there is just some, it's amazing. Some of you can look into the publications about the numerical miracles of the Quran. I don't have time to go into it. Finally, let us ponder on a few things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Which means, do they not carefully consider and reflect on the Qur'an, ponder on the Qur'an carefully? Had it been from other than Allah, they would surely have found therein much contradiction and inconsistency. Because many things are mentioned more than once. Is there any inconsistency? So the word for that is called ikhtilaf. So the ayah ends with, they would have found in the Quran, fihi ikhtilafan kathira. So the meaning is, they would have found many inconsistencies, which is the meaning. But the amazing thing is, they would have found many ikhtilafan. If you look in the whole Quran, 7,000, almost 7,000 ayat, the word ikhtilafan only appears one place, which is here. So even literally, you will not find more than one in the Quran. But the real meaning is you won't find any inconsistency. So even that way, it doesn't contradict anything. This is the miracles of the Quran. And again, going back to the fact that we mentioned these things, but the most important take-home message for all of us is that the Quran is a book of guidance and a legislator. It has narrations of the past and future. It has scientific things that will be proven, that have been proven. And it is even selective in who will be guided and who will be led astray by the same book. One would think if it's guidance, everybody should be guided. But we have been given a choice. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي أَنْ يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُودَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. Which means, indeed, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who does not feel shy in giving any examples. He will even give you examples, parables about the fly and the gnat. Okay? or something bigger or something smaller. And the ones who believe, they know this is the truth from their Lord. And the one who disbelieve, they say, what does Allah mean by this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. By this book, Allah leads astray many people and He guides many people. So how does it do that? He says, وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. Only those who are led astray were rebellious. Rebellious against the Lord, rebellious against the truth of the Quran. They will be led astray. They will look in the Quran and say, oh, this doesn't make sense. This contradicts this. This is it. But the same book, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides people. So the miracles of previous prophets were temporal. They happened at the time for their people. The greatest miracle of the Quran, which is its eternal guidance that has been provided, it provides guidance till the day of judgment. It is an eternal miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It does not stop, it does not expire. The actual words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protected and preserved in the heavens on Lauh al-Mahfuz, the guarded tablet, and preserved on the earth as long as this system continues to exist by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings this universe to an end, which is also mentioned in the Quran, when He tells us what will happen, how He will shake the earth, He says the heavens will be torn apart and the oceans will explode. And He says, وَجُمِعَ الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ. Things will collapse back on themselves, because scientists are talking about that, that when this energy expires, then gravity will pull all of this thing, the Big Bang thing, together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَجُمِعَ الشَّمْسُ. He will join the sun and the moon together, giving us some hint of what's going to happen. As long as the universe exists, the Quran will be there for guidance. But just before its final destruction, Allah will take it. It will be lifted, because the word of Allah cannot be destroyed. And as I said before, just remember, the Quran is not a book of science, but as we said before, true science will never discover something that will disprove a single word or ayah of the Quran, whether it's in general terms or specifics. As a caution, we as Muslims should not try and tailor the ayat and interpret them to match whatever the new fashion or hypothesis or theory is. Okay, today scientists are talking about this. Let's see. Oh God, this is what the Quran. Because those things get proven wrong. And then you said, what? Then how are you going to justify? Is the Quran wrong? No, the theory was wrong. You matched it inappropriately. So don't go into too much of that. Now, in spite of all of this evidence, there are some people who will never believe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna anzalna alayka al-kitaba lin-nasi bil-haq, faman ihtada falinafsihi wa man dalla fa innama yadillu alayha wa ma anta alayhim biwakil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily we have sent down to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this book, the Quran, for mankind, for the guidance of mankind in truth. So whoever accepts the guidance, it is for his own self, for his own benefit. You're not doing anyone else a favor. And whosoever goes astray, he goes astray for his own harm, own loss. And you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are not a wakil. You are not a trustee, a disposer of affair, or keeper of these people. If they don't believe, they don't believe. Your job is to convey the message. So we have conveyed the message, in short, within the time frame that was allotted, of highlighting some of the miraculous nature of the Quran. The Quran itself is an eternal living miracle that was given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And those who have believed are fortunate that we have it now. To show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it, what should we do? Read it, understand it, reflect on it, ponder on it, obey. Right? And never have a doubt. Have you ever heard a book that starts? Have you ever seen a book where there is no author? Open the Quran, you say, who's the author? One time I gave somebody, he said, there's no author. I said, yeah, there is an author. But he doesn't write down by, because He is the creator. Which book ever starts by saying, ذَٰلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. This is the book in which there is no doubt. That's audacious, because only Allah can make those statements. That's how the Quran starts. Okay. So have no doubt. But if the Quran is kept in a closet or on a shelf and never opened, even Muslims will not benefit from it. So inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this gathering in which we have highlighted some of the miracles of the greatest miracle, which is the Quran. And there are many more that you can look into. But the most important thing is to read the Quran for its guidance, for its laws, for its healing of the hearts, for its mercy, and for the path that it gives us to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The path, if we take and adopt that seriously, Allah will give us a life that is beautiful, that's full of mercy and rahmah and tranquility. We will not be stressed, we will not be depressed, we will not be suicidal, because we know the path we are on is the right path. And ultimately, when we leave this existence to the next, we will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where He will be pleased with us and we will be pleased to meet Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who listen and obey, who believe without doubt in every word of the Quran and every message of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he left us, in addition to the Quran. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who listen and obey and who do their best to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He only deserves. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.